Just welcome back. I didn't know where I was for a second there. I was taking such good notes on how to commit real estate fraud. We're going to tell us how to not to get caught, too. So take good notes, and maybe you can go on and start a second career. Talking with Stan Loess, a retired FBI agent, worked in the Santa Barbara area for over 20 years, has some real estate fraud investigative stories. And if we have time, hopefully maybe some bank robber stories here in the Santa Barbara area. So mail fraud, we're going to talk about renting to multiple people and selling to people you don't own, and maybe some investment stories. But mail fraud you got involved with, is mail fraud, is that a woman dressed like a man? What is mail fraud?
No, that's close. But mail fraud is using the U.S. mails to support or further a fraudulent scheme. And it's a very broad statute, and it's a statute that the Bureau would use very often in prosecutions of many types of fraud, including the real estate fraud. You know, we were talking about one of the frauds that occurs is someone renting to prospective renters a piece of property more than once. Sometimes you'll have an apartment. You'll have a scammer that'll put an ad in the paper. The apartment will be vacant. He'll meet them there, sign loan documents or rental documents, and take the money and do that three or four or five times, and he's gone.
This guy doesn't even own the apartment.
Doesn't even own it. He's just there.
He just has access to an empty apartment.
That's exactly right. I've seen people sell homes like that, a vacant house.
Really?
They've put together deals, and they've taken down payments, and poof, they're gone.
So they create some fake brokerage account, which, of course, today,
exactly
most people,
right.
You're making a checkout or deposit check to a title company. But it used to be a lot more common for brokers to have a brokerage account that they would hold it.
That's right.
So you easily set up a straw name, you know, Stan Loess Brokerage.
Right. They could do a lot of different things.
You could just,
another thing I think that we discussed briefly was real estate investment schemes. Again, these are pyramid schemes. You induce people to invest in some sort of a real estate development, claim it's going to go up or that it's going to be sold very quickly for a profit, and you take the money and run. Or you take the money and pay off the older investors using money from new investors. Classic pyramid scheme.
To keep them alive, maybe they'll reinvest.
That's exactly right. Or they'll bring other people in to invest with you.
Now,
it happens all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, how common is that happening all the time? People are still doing it, getting away with it.
They're still doing it. You know, the recent scheme here in Santa Barbara was the Reed Slatkin case.
Oh, I remember that.
Investors lost over $700 million. Now, that was not a pure real estate fraud, but some of the investments that he was touting were real estate based.
I remember going to his house in Hope Ranch afterwards when it was on the market. I used to see this guy around town all the time.
That's right.
Where is he now?
In prison. He got 12 years, I think.
Wow.
But
it's the real deal.
Yeah.
There's no, it's the big boys. Are these guys smart enough, like, you know, when you said mail fraud and you look at this, they sometimes avoid. Do they know the statute so well that they try to avoid going way out on a limb to avoid getting, you know, the 20-year sentence, so they stay under the radar a little?
As a matter of fact, there are cases that we've investigated where they avoid using the mails, the U.S. mail, which is the mail fraud part of it.
Right.
But the mail fraud statute does not go to the delivery services, FedEx or DHL. So they can use those to transmit documents in furtherance of a fraudulent scheme. There's been some move in Congress to change the statute to include those services, but so far it's still the mail.
And what about email?
That's fraud by wire.
Oh. That's
another very broad statute used to prosecute many types of frauds.
Fraud by wire. What is the old wiring money? What was that?
It used to be wiring money, wire that? Transfers, et cetera.
What was that company? How did you wire things? They just shut down.
Western Union?
Western Union?
Well, there's that, but fraud by wire now can take into account misrepresentations made by telephone between states.
Oh.
That's the use of the wire system.
So... How frustrating is it for you as an investigator and a retired FBI agent to hear that Congress is not treating FedEx the same way as mail, and then somebody gets busted and it's like, aha, I'm not getting the extra 5 years because I use FedEx instead of the general mail. I mean,
well, it could be very frustrating. Like I said, the crooks know the statutes too. And it's just part of the business.
So you just, work with what you can. My experience with the FBI and the police is limited to watching Law & Order and Dragnet and a lot of Law & Order. I watch them all. I don't know if you watch that.
I watch very little of those shows.
Yeah. I don't know if there was there an FBI show specifically? Dragnet was the...
No, there was an FBI show back in the 60s, early 70s.
Ephraim Zimilis Jr.
That's correct.
Yes, I watched that. I can't remember the name of that. That was a great show.
I used to use it as a training film.
Did it follow?
Oh, it was based on true stories and stuff.
But the operation and how they worked, was there any...
Well, there was no such person as that inspector that would travel all over the country, call helicopters up at will and stuff like that. It was a little more cumbersome.
So it's a little less Hollywood.
That's exactly right.
Well, considering your office was in the Glendale Federal Building, I can imagine it wasn't all that glamorous.
That's true.
You're just kind of going to work and doing a job. So let's see. You mentioned the real estate. So Reed Slatkin?
Yeah.
You said it was not quite a pure pyramid?
No, that was a pyramid scheme.
Oh, it was?
But it wasn't based totally on real estate. If I remember correctly, there were some real estate investments within the huge investment
portfolio
that he claimed to have.
Son of a gun. And I guess at the beginning, people made money.
People made money. That's exactly right.
Now, were you involved in that case, or was that just...
No, it's sort of interesting because I was contacted when I was in the private sector regarding that case about 6 months before it broke. And I was contacted by an out-of-state investor that actually came here to meet with Slatkin. And looking at the documents, I told him, it's a fraud. But no one wanted to believe me. It's sort of interesting. A good fraudster will keep the people believing him. I had one gentleman when I was working for the FBI. He was being conned by a con man out of Florida. Now, this was a gem fraud, not real estate. But it took me 2 years to convince him that he was being defrauded.
A GEM? Gem fraud?
Gem. You got it.
What was that movie I saw where the guy plays like he's a con man? He keeps changing his identity, kind of the pretty boy actor. He might have been in Leonardo DiCaprio. It was made to be like it was in the 60s. It was based on a real man.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you remember this guy? He worked from the 1960s to 70s. I don't know if he might have gone to prison. And he just kept assuming identities.
Oh yes,
he was
yes.
a doctor.
Yes,
that was a great movie.
I do recall that, and I think that was based on a true story.
Yeah, we should get him on the air.
There you go.
I wonder what the heck that guy's name was. We're talking with Stan Loess, retired FBI agent. So I think we covered a lot of the real estate. We covered fraud, mail fraud, statutes. Identity rental, investment fraud. We started to talk about that. You went to the pyramid scheme and multiple selling. We talked about selling to multiple people. But What about this investment fraud, like you sell swampland or something you never visit?
That's true. Many people buy such land on misrepresentations or on representations that are made to them on advertising in various magazines and papers. They buy it sight unseen, and it turns out that it's worthless swampland, or it can't be developed, or there's no access, or many different things. They think they have clear title to it, and the titles are clouded. There's a lot of different ways of taking money from people.
And people, you know, as long as there's a sucker born every minute, as he said.
That's exactly right. One good thing to keep in mind, if an investment looks too good to be true, it probably is not true.
It probably is. Now, as you morphed over to the private sector, you currently own Summit Research Group, private investigator security company. You're wearing, I don't see you carrying a gun today.
I'm not carrying a gun today.
But you are, are you licensed to have a
I am.
Firearm? That's not easy to get. I mean, I guess as a retired FBI agent, maybe it was a little easier to make that transition.
That's correct. It's a lot easier that way.
But and that California is unique that way, a little easier in other states?
Yes, it is. Virginia, where we have a second home, is quite a bit easier than California. And Florida, Utah, Washington State are all a lot easier. But the firearms laws change from state to state.
I just never forget this Archie Bunker All in the Family episode when he did an editorial on TV news, and they were, you know, he was trying to solve, there was a lot of skyjacking at the time, and his answer was simply to hand out guns to everyone as they enter the plane, so no one would obviously pull out a piece. So that was
I liked Archie.
A good response. So you mentioned in the private sector now, there's certain jobs that you don't touch. I mean, you don't do divorce cases or...
That's correct. And we don't do the family law cases hardly ever.
And you just people calling you to track down lost people or...
We have to locate all witnesses for various attorneys and things on that order. We do background checks, pre-employment. There's a whole myriad of things. It's sort of like special projects for our clients. As long as it's legal, we'll do it.
Do you end up sometimes traveling out of the area, or you just can handle this kind of locally, or you're not like a bounty hunter?
No, I'm not a bounty hunter. I do a fair amount of traveling. I've got a couple of clients that want me to do the work, and so I've been from corner to corner in the U.S. just this year. I've been in Florida, New York, Boston, state of Washington, San Diego, and places in the middle, too.
Wow. And so now you're spending time in Virginia. What's with Virginia? What was the...
My wife wanted a second home back there.
That was just a little place. Now, she's still...
She's a Virginia native, so...
Oh, she is?
Yes.
She is. Connie Lose, she was in the paper quite a bit, heavily involved with the Ronald Reagan, USS Ronald Reagan, and the adoption by the city. And
that's correct.
So she was, and she's still working the...
Oh, she's still involved in that, but she's no longer president. She's now a national director for the Navy League.
Oh, very much. How long was she president?
Oh, for about 6 years.
Okay. Did a great... Great job out there.
Well, it grew from about 30 or 40 members to over 1,400.
Wow.
So, and we're still trying to keep it growing.
And you're still down at the yacht club? You still have your boat here in town?
I certainly do.
You're out there. You look fit, tanned. You're out.
I feel good.
Did you drive your bicycle up here today?
No, I drove my car today.
Rode your bicycle?
I was running late.
You're running late. Stan Lose? Retired FBI agent, currently owns Summit Research Group, private investigator security company. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Oh, by the way, now that you interviewed me, I heard about an interview that you did.
Well, you know what? We're going to play it when we come back because we're running up against the clock. I'm glad you asked me that. I forgot all about it. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number, 564-1290, 564-1290.